fire up, are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine. Now the Gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time. A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player. Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder. It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
I'm not sure how to ask this, but is it sort of tough preparing today? There's a bit of a pungent aroma down here in the new stadium.
Oh. I feel sorry for those people there with the stench. And sure, like, I know people laugh at it, but we are the capital of Australia. And the stadium administration and the stadium people here are wonderful people. They accommodate us so well. Milton O'Brien and all his team are really, really good people. They and Canberra deserve a new stadium. It's absolutely crap that they don't build a stadium to look after Canberra's people.
Did he use the word crap when it comes to stench, Chris?
It seems like a very obvious correlation
obviously,
to me, Stephen.
And I've never believed in Ricky so much. I am 100% behind him. It is the nation's capital. The man with the vision, you know, can't be in Sydney, can't be in Melbourne, has to be somewhere neutral in the middle. And our great politicians have delivered over the centuries or century or so. And Ricky's absolutely right. Look, he's no politician.
Well, I think that's true. But I tell you what, Stephen, people stop me in the street all the time and they say, Brett, why are you following a ridiculous game like rugby league? There's no value in it. And I said, exhibit one, a Ricky Stewart press conference. It's educational.
Yes, it is.
Canberra is the capital of Australia.
Illuminating, and they deserve better.
They absolutely deserve better. I mean, the concept of Canberra not having a modern 21st century stadium, Stephen, chills me to my core.
Have they actually found the source of the smell? I mean, was it the corpse of ScoMo rotting under the building?
Well, it was all the victims from the Nemesis three-parter on the ABC. Yeah. Actually, I thought Cameron Smith might have been coaching his under-15s as the curtain raiser, and it was a sulphur stench.
Easy to misconstrue crap and sulphur, isn't it? You know, I know. Wow, so Cameron's in trouble. Now, listen, that's not the only place in trouble. We live in a world of haves and have knots, you know. There's Mr. Politis, you know, Dreamliners and Avra restaurants, and you know, flying in first class everywhere he goes, and the Roosters worrying about their players going to move to rugby union, God forbid, you know. And Jared Warrior, we got to hail him as a hero again. It's all I hear about this week, except for Latrell, of course, you know. But the haves and have nots, and of course we've been hearing this story over and over again. Remember when Manly Warringah was the cesspit of bloody, you know, stadiums.
Well, with the exception of the Bob Fulton Centre of Excellence behind one trial, it looks like it still is to me, as far as
I can
tell.
You think it's a patchwork job?
You know, a packed Four Pints Park on the weekend. I didn't see much modernism in evidence there.
No.
But you know what, Stephen?
Know what?
There is a debate here that we have to tap into.
Yes.
And because if you're going to build stadiums, Stephen, you're taking money away from other areas. And Sticky Stewart had an insight on that.
And I'm all for education, I'm all for hospitals, 100%, but we have to have some common sense. There was a concert here last week that people went to, and all the buses stopped and people were stranded.
Unbelievable.
Like, honestly, politically, and I'm uneducated in politics, which I'm very happy about. But politicians should learn a little bit off sport, because I believe there's a lot of good leaders in sport.
Yes, indeed. So where does he sit with Mal, you know, as far as like being educated with politics? You know, Mal lasted, what, 16 seconds?
Oh, I thought it was 18. Yeah, I'm buggered.
And Ricky really's got a future ahead of him, you can tell.
It's interesting. It's clearly not a requirement to be the coach of the Canberra Raiders that you need to know anything about the major business in town, which is politics.
No.
And it's a dilemma, though, because we know, according to the Fitzsimons credo,
yes.
What about the schools and hospitals?
Why would you build a billion-dollar stadium in the heart of Sydney that's already looked after very well just because Beyonce might want a roof too, you know, and then what? What about old people's homes? Hey? Schools, kiddies, you know, I mean, there's so much for money to go to.
Infrastructure. It's a long list, but, I mean, if you think about uneducated public servants, unwell public servants, and public servants unable to get home after, I don't know what was down
what
there.
What concert was
on
there?
A pink concert, I'm
you
guessing.
Couldn't even figure that one out.
Every concert seems to be pink these days. I'm probably with Ricky. I want to see those Canberra public servants safely return to their apartments in Belconnen and Braddon and places like that, and not have to endure the stench of a stadium. And
is he suggesting that the politicians have got no grit in their politics, well, in their policies particular?
He attributed their win against my beleaguered West Tigers, Stephen, to the grit shown by Canberra, which reinforces that grit is the new resilience, as far as I can tell.
Mate, we've had breakfast with Madge McGuire, one of the old coaches. He had grit.
He had grit.
And he lost out. I mean, you've had a meth lab for how many, a decade now, with worth a dollar, and still no stadium. I mean, where do you actually play, Chris? Have you got a stadium anywhere?
Yeah, we've got a couple, Stephen. We've got Campbell Sports Stadium, and of course we've got Leichhardt Oval, which I guess I should talk about because that's got a bit of a stench associated with it as well.
Oh, yes.
The word is, according to, I think, the Inner West Council, which is not being allowed to demerge.
Yes.
Darcy Burns.
He's filthy this week.
He's got it on life support, Leichhardt. Yeah.
So he's up against Minns, right? Minns said, show me a business case.
Yeah, because Minns just goes,
not worth it.
A la Fitzsimons schools and hospitals.
Yes.
You know, and who cares if people can't get home from concerts? Whereas Darcy would like to see Leichhardt Oval, I want to say restored to its former glory, just restored, I think would do. And this is a really, really vexed issue, I believe, in terms of how we're going to turn this joint around. And I actually ran into
Which your joint?
Yes.
West Tigers joint. Yeah.
And I actually, by the way, in relation to the Canberra game, which I wanted to gloss over, I thought we lost with purpose and dignity, a la Richo. Yeah. And one of the Tigers officials showed there were some green shoots, and I go, they were very green as far as I could tell.
Can I just backpedal a little bit? I remember thinking, wow, the history was being made when I heard the announcer go, and officially now it is Benji Marshall's first game as a first grade coach. And
yes.
I thought, you must be very excited, Chris. I rang you up and you said, maybe not. Maybe I'll go and do something different for a little while.
Well, I was kindly gifted tickets to the Ministry of Sound Classics, Stephen, and I could go on about that for a while
we
as
will.
Well. But in relation to the Leichhardt situation, I ran into a friend of the show, Brendan Cowell, yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to join us in an episode before he heads back overseas in May. And he's just completed filming.
Talking of ScoMo's.
Yeah, well, we'll come to that. And he's just completed filming of a miniseries based on his second novel, Plum, where I did audition for the character of Magic Matt and failed.
Okay. Magic Matt?
Yeah.
Simpsons?
It was a basketballer.
Okay.
And something else could have happened in my life had that come through. But that was fine. He's looking super match fit. And, of course, we are taking on the Sharks at Leichhardt this weekend.
Yes.
And he goes, I'm attending the game. And I said, I'll see
you. Wow, that'd be great.
I'll see you there. And I said, you know, of course, I'm going to take an extensive film team to document Leichhardt because it's got less than 2 years. And I said, before they take away any elite sport from Leichhardt. And we looked at each other and goes, well, not sure that the Tigers right now meets the definition of elite sport anyway.
FBI Radio presents.
FBI Radio Sold Out is back at the National Arts School Darlinghurst on Sunday, April 14.
A celebration of the best grooves, club classics, new soul and disco from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. We sold that broadcast live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Catch me, Stephen Ferris, Kate Munro, Josh Beagley, The Godfather, Jonathan Chalui and Finlay Ferris.
Plus live performances from Juanita Tippins, Sergio and Leroy Jones. Tickets available now from Humanitix. Sold out live. Helping FBI Radio level up the training ground.
To win tickets, head to fbiradio.com/presents.
Well, this comes back to the haves and the have-nots, you know, and you know, you're struggling. I know that. I don't know about the Cronulla. I hope they struggle.
Well, the Sharks are 2-0, Stephen, and I know you're a very busy person with a lot of responsibilities.
Yes,
personally,
yes,
to the economy, to the greater world, to politics,
yes,
to schools and hospitals. You probably didn't get any of the Bulldogs going down to the Sharks at Shark Park, did you?
No, and, you know, either side would have given me pleasure going down, I have to say, only because I think, first of all, Cronulla, you know, they stole our thunder back in 67. I'll never forgive them. Yeah. You know that. You
Here's
know.
That dead horse getting flogged again.
That one. And then, of course, I just think it's funny that you've got Gus and you've got the Golden Boy Seraldo, you know, that whole sort of, like, nexus of, like, we're going to be huge and we're going to steal everybody's great product, particularly from Penrith. And look, what are they doing?
It's a heady mix.
Gus, why would I enjoy that? Why is that schadenfreude, Chris?
I don't know, but it's a heady mix of Gus Seraldo,
yeah,
Penrith, and a whole bunch of utility players.
Yeah.
And it ain't working yet.
Not working.
They're in the arm wrestle for 60 minutes, but Cronulla prevailed. But apparently the highlight was when the ground announcer revealed to the attendant throng that ScoMo, Scott Morrison, is no longer the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks number one ticket holder.
Have we got canned laughter clapping? No? Woohoo!
I tell you what, if you catch the footage,
yeah,
I haven't seen as much joy at Shark Park since when Cameron Smith got put in the bin,
right,
by Matt Chechen low those many years ago.
That's right.
I mean, people were dancing in the streets. There was
hats were being thrown up, you
there,
know,
again.
Confetti bombs, the whole bit.
And this was unfortunate. I think a random Sharks fan grabbed another one and planted a kiss on them.
What? Without asking?
Like World War II style?
Like World War II style. Yeah. My goodness.
Because it's taking a while for new values to percolate through
the
side.
And I don't even begin to start, Chris. I know that we've got a centre of excellence happening down at Illawarra, you know.
At the uni.
They've yet to draw out the blueprint yet, you know, but it'll get there, apparently.
Have they not tilled the soil yet on that one?
Not tilled the soil, apparently.
Okay.
Though, of course, you know, how many, every year we get a poll saying, hey, what do you think of the food at Cogra? You know, every year we go, really? Food? You know? And then don't even go to the Taj Mahal. My brother went to the Taj Mahal for a meet with Flano on Monday night, and he said, gee, that's a sad little place. Even for 1983, it was sad.
Yeah, town hall meeting at the Taj Mahal, pitchforks optional.
Yes, exactly.
And after the performance against the Dolphin, there might have been plenty of them.
Yes.
But ScoMo, of course, has vacated not only his seat down south, but his
more celebrations.
Number one ticket holder. And he was going to have a farewell function for the pundits.
Yes.
Poorly subscribed. It's been postponed. But he did have a farewell with the Sharks, a farewell lunch at the Sea Level restaurant.
Oh, sorry. So the fans didn't get to see him say farewell.
The voters.
Yeah.
The inner circle of the Sharks. The people who go, thank you for your contribution over 16 years.
Yes.
And what you've actually done for the club, which as far as I can tell, it's the only Sydney club that has no investment in a centre of excellence.
Yes.
You know.
And in that is still a toxic swamp, correct?
And continues to just have a whole bunch of
scaffolding. The hotel doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, no. The King Wan's not back.
What did they get in the finals last year? 13,000 people in the finals.
No, they can't win a game against a top eight team when it matters.
No.
So how many people do you think turned up at the Sea Level restaurant to farewell ScoMo for his contribution to the Sharks?
Well, I would suggest you're saying not many.
Dino Mezzatesa was there, the CEO.
Yes.
ScoMo himself makes sense.
Yeah.
Seven people.
Yeah.
Including Gal.
Yeah.
And as well know about Gal, if it's free, he'll be there.
Right.
And Gal, last night on 100% Footy, said, I tell you what, I posted that photo. He goes, there's a lot of people that don't like Scott Morrison. Again, like Ricky, but I don't know anything about politics.
Some people are more canny when it comes to their politics, like Ricky, like Mal. John Howard, number one ticket holder for St. George. He never relinquished. He never said goodbye. He never walked away. He didn't have farewell lunch or dinner. So that's the way to do it.
So he is still, as far as we know?
We can only assume so.
Because at the Tigers, they auction the thing off each year and raise a bit of money, you know.
Well, there's a job for Flano, if ever I heard one.
I don't like rugby league, and I could never figure out what on earth is a squirrel grip. But I love Fire Up.
The Melbourne versus Warriors. Now, that was a cracker. I did watch that.
But that was incredible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're now all debating whether the Xavier Coates try was the greatest try ever scored
in
history.
And was it horizontal or vertical?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because...
Was it in slow-mo?
Like, everyone will remember the Coates try in the last 10 seconds to win, just getting the... He had to switch it to his right hand because otherwise he would have been out. Prefers to put him down with his left. He practices it all out.
Yes.
People will talk about that for decades. I'll talk about Michael Ennis for decades.
What did he say?
Well, he said that Coates was fully vertical.
Yes.
And it's been a long time since I'd done physics, but it looked like he was horizontal.
Horizontal, yes.
Yeah. But also the penultimate try where a friend of the show, Stephen Gorry, was blowing up deluxe that it was an illegal block play, and I've heard no mention in the media about that.
Right.
But it ended up with Ryan Pappenhausen slicing through, and let's see how it was characterised by Ennis the Menace.
Just cutting them. Like a knife through hot butter. Ryan Pappenhausen.
Knife through hot butter is beautiful. Look, you got to give them a little bit of leeway, Chris. In the heat of the moment, they shout stuff, you know, and they got to get their allegories and their metaphors correct.
I think I hear a bit of hot butter in the background there, Stephen, but it is just a wonderful, wonderful analogy because is there anything more frustrating is when you order some toast at a cafe
and it's running
with somebody and it's melted.
Done.
It's just
done,
shocking.
Done. Look, is there anything funny also than a falcon?
No.
In rugby league?
Yeah. Jeremy Marshall King, courtesy of your boy Ben Hunt.
Is there anything funny than a ref being run over? Talking of mangling my words.
Referee Chris Butler knocked over by Jerome Hughes, who was attempting to effect a tackle. One game suspension for that because it's not on, Stephen.
Right.
It's not a caper. I believe that commentators find Falcons and referees falling over as funny.
Yeah.
Because they actually find people getting head high hilarious, but they're not allowed to laugh at that. So they feel this is inadvertent, so it's open slather.
Yes. We love a bit of slapstick, don't we? Laurel and Hardy, Chaplin, Buster Keaton, that sort of stuff. Hey, listen, so tell me, did you watch the Melbourne game?
Yes.
Yeah, and what? Where was your heart voting?
Who are they playing again? No, the Waz.
Come on. Everybody loves Warriors, don't they?
What I was seeing on the chat afterwards is about, like, another friend of the show, Professor Dave Taylor, said, I still think we owe the Warriors something for their contribution during COVID, right?
I'm reckoning there's a tail end of that.
I feel like we owe the Warriors something. And my response was, I still feel Balmain is owed for the Harrigan penalty against Maguire playing the ball in the 89 grand final.
Oh, God, I feel that we owe for Cronulla coming to the competition, let alone bloody Melbourne, one year in winning the whole damn thing. So I reckon we're owed that.
So, look, I would have...
And we're both the merger clubs.
Yes, right. At the end of the day... The modern reality of supporting games where you've got no skin, games where you've got no skin, and who wins, Stephen, is that you go for who you tipped, and I tipped the Storm, so I was ecstatic.
Right. Well, I completely disagree because I reckon I have skin with Melbourne from day one.
Mm-hmm. The 99.
Well, not only did they have the devil guided for most of the period. I think Bellamy, of course, is, you know, there's something very distinctly wrong about that man. There's no doubt about it, what he does.
He's successful.
Box. Yes. There's something about those techniques that's just very, very
the
wrong.
The wrestle. That's right. You're still back in that sort of mid.
Oh, let's not forget the cartwheel. 1999. Who could forget that?
Lazo.
Lazo's celebrated cartwheel. I can't forget that. No, but I just love the way that, I guess because it's directly across from Auckland, I suppose, or at least the Southern Island, there's a lot of Kiwis that come over and live here in Melbourne, all going hard against Melbourne on that night. I just love to hear the crowd. It was great.
Is that a latitudinal thing or a longitudinal thing, Steve?
Vertical, horizontal. Just call it Xavier Coates.
Let's get Michael Ennis in and tell us how to read a map, for God's sake.
And I just love the way the Warriors were really putting it to them. You know, I thought that was delightful because I've been at Amy and they're a nasty little crowd. They're feral, Chris.
I'm telling you, if you don't like fire up, you're a dead shit.
This is Fire Up here. We've only just touched on the opening rounds, but we've got some big, big stuff to come to. Chris, did you know that you thought the Dragons losing was funny, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you thought Benji Marshall comments funny, you know, and, you know, great Falcons and refs being run over, et cetera. We've got some more important stuff to come about. I guess mind control.
Right.
You know, mind expansion.
Dialing.
Techniques that have been going on for up to a century, but probably since the 60s, you know, and we're talking some serious stuff coming here with a man who knows to deliver win-win-win. Back in a minute.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do we know Cameron Munster injury, how long will be on the sideline?
Slipped in the shower, which was a true story. I didn't do my calf, but definitely did my groin.
Slipped in the shower!
Just haven't been able to come back from it, so it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah!
The physios haven't really given me a time frame.
Just one little slip, Cam's hip was cracked, flat on his back, and his groin went snap. Harry Grant left the tiles all wet. Now Cam regrets that he didn't make Harry clean it up yet. The physio don't know what's wrong or when. Cam can run, start to train. Done scans, made plans, took it day by day. No one knows when he'll be back again.
Did scans and everything, and we can't really find out what the problem is. Maybe it's just old hips, so I use them a fair bit.
It's getting kind of slippery. Slipping in the shower, getting out of the shower, wet tile, especially with Munster, I can absolutely see it because it wouldn't take much.
Slipped in the shower! Slipped in the shower!
Some say he's dangerous, but he's always put to the test. Grappling, tackling, shoulder charging, chicken wing, head injuries need to be treated with caution, and they are. But these things are the least of your problems that you need to be solving. You want to keep those players safe? You got the power. Ban the shower.
As unlikely as it sounds, it does happen.
Slipped in the shower.
The groin injury that he suffered a recurrence of, slipping in the shower. Whatever the real story is about that.
Slipped in the shower. Oh, Cam's head is crying. Oh, Cam's head is crying. Slipped in the shower. Oh, Cam's head is crying. Oh, Cam's head is crying. Slipped in the shower.
Dennis Carnahan has outdone himself with that one, hasn't he?
Well, I'm off Dennis at the moment. Okay. Obviously, because his Canberra Raiders touched up my West Tigers. But we're building a 2024 NRL glossary, Stephen. Grit has replaced resilience.
Yes.
And the universal excuse for any egregious mistake you make as a rugby league player can be explained away by I slipped in the shower. Now, Dennis wanted me to go into some length about my experiences with the great Snap, who did that song originally, The Power.
Yeah.
And I have searched my soul, and I went and saw Technotronic out at the State Sports Centre at Hurstville.
Of course you did.
Maybe Snap were on that bill, yes. But I've got no clear recollection of ever seeing Snap.
What about their second single?
Yeah, exactly. I saw Fragma. Tocker's Miracle, I saw that.
Okay.
But I don't know, but that was brilliant.
But what I love is that Dennis is now moving into sort of contemporary music. I love it.
And,
you know, sounds great.
And there'll be a debate about his rap voice, but the other voices you heard, apart from the cynical Andrew Moore suggesting that may not be true, was Brian Heaney, the NRL physio, who has been a huge addition to the game over the last 10 years.
And having a good gander at groins.
That's right. And I think without Brian Heaney, none of us knew the word syndesmosis.
No, exactly. So you just mentioned cynics, you know, and skeptics. You might count me amongst this, and we're on the opposite side of the fence, but there's a big, big story this week, Chris. And really, it's bigger than rugby league. Really, it's about life. You
right.
know? Are you looking forward? Are you looking back? You know, are you a futurist in your thinking, or you're stuck in your ways. You know, you're going to just tread the same old mistakes. You know, that's why people go to, you know, various sort of techniques, I suppose, mental techniques to break habits that are holding you back. Now, rugby league teams, there's many teams that are being held back. My team's being held back. Your team's being held back. Correct? Canterbury.
Feels like they're being held back.
That's right. But there's a man, perhaps, and I know that you're a big believer. You're in believership. Is that what it's called?
What's your point here, Stephen?
Bradley Charles Stubbs.
Yes.
BCS. I think not one but two articles this weekend I read about Bradley Charles Stubbs, because there is a book that he's put out, and he's known colloquially as the Coach Whisperer. I don't think he's whispering anymore, Chris.
No, he's a bit more like the Coach Megaphone now, Stephen.
He's loud. He's
got
out.
His second self-published book out, the original one, Science of Belief, Unmissable, can't be put down. But this one is more anecdotal.
Yeah.
So he talks about real-life examples of his achievements.
Achievements, yes, that's
and
right.
And the teams, and in specifically the coaches he has assisted to great things, Stephen.
Right. If you're walking into something that you need to sort of, I guess, achieve, to perform, to you know, reach a level of excellence, you don't just go done, done, done. You've got to actually get there first, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah. And I guess there are methods to do this. And there's a great headline this week, An Umbilical Cord of Energy, How the Coach Whisperer Connects with His Star Clients. An Umbilical Cord of Energy. It's a gross thought, isn't it?
I heard Nico Hines talking about what we've done is changed the energy, and that was for all to see. And let me tell you, when they announced that ScoMo wasn't the number one ticket holder, the whole team lifted.
Yeah, right.
But this is modern thinking, Stephen. You seem to be, I don't know, like, we've had Bradley Charles Stubbs on this show.
Yes, yes.
And then I was able to persuade him to come back for a searching interview on the condition that you weren't there, because you suggested at one point in the interview that it was hypnotism.
Yes.
Are you still in that sort of retro rationalist camp?
I got reading about the Merry Pranksters, Ken Kesey and the crew that were taking LSD back in the day.
The Electric Kool-Aid Acid
Test.
That's
right. Timothy Leary, come on now. The Maharishi. You know, TM with the Beatles. I was there right at the beginning, at the forefront. You know,
you were there as about a seven-year-old.
I know you're a David Robbins man. I was pre that. I was the 60s, right?
Anthony Robbins.
Oh. See? Don't even know his name.
Listen, I got this calcification on my feet not from walking on hot coals with Anthony Robbins. It's just too many hot pieces of bitumen.
Don't you remember walking up to the top of the Himalayas with the Simpsons? And all they see is the Quickie Mart president up there. They're looking for Yoda or Buddha or some Hindu god or someone to lead them through the dark times to the future.
Okay, but you're saying you're a child of the 60s,
yes.
right? And the 60s was this mind-expanding period of time.
Because you might not know this sort of stuff, but when this happened, and of course there was always, you know, predecessors, of course, to this sort of thing. The Golden Dawn, there were all these sort of, you know.
I mean, Lewis Carroll was on something.
Exactly.
When he wrote Alice in Wonderland, there's no doubt about that.
It all blew up, right? And we're talking 1966 onwards, you know, and the Summer of Love, etc. And of course, Big Sur was a home to all the great methodologies about forward thinking and how to, you know, TM was a classic place as well. EST, you know, Werner Herdhard. There's a whole bunch of them there, all doing their stuff, plying their trade, and not to mention, you know, acid.
Your mescalines, your peyotes, your ayahuascas.
None of this bloody little microdosing stuff, you know, and ayahuasca in safe confines or psilocybin or whatever, you know, with three psychiatrists looking after you. None of that stuff. This is wild frontier stuff, Chris.
Okay, so the 60s established where you could go. Then we got the Thatcher-Reagan era, which just turned us into all rationalists. And then finally, there's a glimmer of hope, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, yes, it's under controlled conditions and it's strictly supervised how much MDA... you can have, and no doof music's allowed, etc. But the door is slightly
open, Chris.
But we need pioneers, Stephen. Pioneers who always get scalped, as Devo once said, to take the lead. And Bradley Charles Stubbs is one of those pioneers, Stephen.
I think that as a whisperer, he's not so much leading as exposing, and they don't want to be exposed too heavily. I think some of them do. I think, you know, Trent Robinson's not been quoted directly in the book. Is that correct, Chris?
I can give you a quote from Trent if you give me a moment. But
leading sports mentors, including Robinson, Michael Maguire. Man, Michael Maguire on microdoses. What's going on there? You know? Eddie Jones, Graham Arnold, and Michael Checker. Are they all winning at the moment, by the way, Chris?
Okay, let's review.
Yeah.
Michael Maguire, 2014, deal done with Bradley. It was confidential they were working together that if Souths did not win the grand final...
What were they going to chop off?
...sever their pinky fingers.
That's a Yakuza style, right?
Result premiership ring number one.
Yeah.
Before...
They said that after the event, though, didn't they?
Well, at the beginning of the 2018, Stephen, there is a widely circulated photo, and I can repost it on Facebook, of Bradley saying Roosters will win the 2018 premiership, dun-dun-dun, with Robbo, book open... You know, that picture was taken in about March of 2018.
Yeah.
Premiership ring number two, backed up for premiership ring number three.
Yeah.
You mentioned Graham Arnold. Graham presented Bradley with the blazer that was presented to the best coach in the most recent Football World Cup. Thank you, Bradley, for your contribution. Blazer. Coaching Eddie Jones when they came out and did Australia 3-0 in the arcane game called Rugby Union. The case is building up. Checkers rhapsodising.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is that when the winning is good, he's there. When he's not, they're losing because he's not there.
Well, that'd be Bradley's general
view. Would that be the spin?
Yeah, and of course, Kevy, who's in the news today.
Yes.
Kevy, see, if you've got in front of you, read the quote from Robbo as to how he works with the great man, Stephen.
Let me just dig down. He says, he says, I took Trent Robinson, Sydney Roosters NRL head coach, astral travelling.
Well, I want to come to that.
I think everyone else has their say about what it entails, but none of the coaches he has worked with has, Robinson said when asked about Stubbs. Yeah, and that's the privacy, I guess, of the coach. Just the information or the poking and the potting that he allows around what he does. I think, you know, if you have had any dealings with Bradley, he's very intense around what he believes and thinks. He offers that information and you pick and choose how you want to use it. So it's just another tool. I can prod and get a 1% in different areas.
And that is the secret of the coach whisperer.
Just 1%.
Kevy, unfortunately, being too much of an acolyte, gave his first interview as Queensland Origin coach, and Adrian Prosenko rang him and said, you're working with the coach whisperer, aren't you? And the next thing I heard was from Bradley from Fiji, goes, oh, they're onto me, big boy. Because he was doing all the tropes. We expect to win. We're going to get it done. And Dutton wasn't referring to New South Wales, the opposition.
Don't say the word.
And it's in the news again today because in all the lead up to the grand final rematch this weekend, both Kevy and the team, including son Billy, are refusing to mention Penrith by name.
Okay.
And Bradley's waded into this, and he says, and I quote, everybody's talking about a grand final rematch, but it's not, because all the same players aren't there. It's round three versus the Panthers.
Did you take note of that, Chris?
And now I want you to listen to this, Stephen, and I'm listening.
Yeah.
I hope Benji's listening.
Right.
I hope Flano's listening.
Right.
Anything they have ever lost from the day they were born to the age they are now, the conscious mind gets it and puts it in a filing cabinet. That filing cabinet is any loss they've ever had. Every time they talk about a loss all the emotion of every loss they've ever had in their entire life goes through their body and drains them. Now, so you and I, as Dragons and Tigers fans,
this is emotional and psychological loss. We're not talking about your rattle when you were 2 years old.
Yeah.
No, not your little doll. No.
So there's magic in this.
Puts it in a cupboard.
Magic with quotation marks, right?
Yeah.
Don't deal in loss. Yeah. Deal in belief, Steve.
Right. The book is called The Science of the Subconscious. What's he trained as?
Define trained.
Confused by the CBA? Uncertain about the RLPA? Then F you and tune in to Fire Up.
You talk about skeptics. I always like to talk about the Amazing Randy.
Steve. The Amazing Randy. Is that his real name?
I think it was James, but the Amazing Randy's got more of a ring to it.
How did I miss that?
So the Amazing Randy started as an acolyte of the likes of Houdini and so forth, and he would be one of those, dare I say, shysters and frauds who would do psychic readings and tell you about your future, right? And he parlayed that into a career, and then he felt guilty about it.
Yes.
So he decided to expose all the skeptics, right? Sorry, all the charlatans and frauds with all the psychic stuff.
That's right, that's right.
A couple of things. He taught...
He went on the Don Lane show, correct?
Well, he taught Alice Cooper his magic tricks for the Billion Dollar Babies tour.
Wow.
That was a great start.
That's what, yeah.
He then created this $1 million prize where anyone who could reproduce a psychic phenomena, i.e. Uri Geller bending the keys, under a controlled environment would win $1 million. No one ever claimed it.
Yeah.
He went on the Don Lane show where, of course, Don loved Doris Stokes. Don? Is there someone in the room whose name begins with an S? Stephanie. And he goes, yes, I'm getting that, Don. It's Stephanie. And Don loved her.
Yeah.
And Randy said, she's a shyster of fraud. And Don was so incensed. And they had the... Because Randy could show you how you could bend the keys.
Yeah.
Don swept his arm across the keys. He says, well, you and your keys. He says, piss off. Right. And he walked off his own live television show.
But he walked off first and left him there to run the show for the next hour.
And if you remember the Carlos incident with 60 Minutes, you know, the psychic that turned up at the opera house and everybody goes, oh, my God, the guy can see the future. Right. That was a Randy scam.
All right. I'll be looking into his, as a skeptic, into his credentials, Chris.
So that's all the shysters and fraudsters,
yes,
Stephen.
Yes, yes, yes.
But when we...
David Robinson.
When we apply science of the subconscious,
what
we get is astral travelling, Stephen.
Right. Yes.
Now, I imagine you as a child of the 60s, you've gone around the block a few times astral travelling, haven't you?
Well, that's right. And we used to think we could float.
Right,
you know,
transcendental.
And project ourselves into the future. Now, I'm thinking that PVL's on it. It's gambling. Go to the future, find out what the odds are and who won. Boom, back to the present again.
Because in 2020, Bradley says, and I haven't heard Trent Robinson... another one of his pontifications on top of the mountain, which is, you know, probably where he ended up astral traveling, that this is not true, that he took him astral traveling in 2020 and saw the game that week against the Broncos.
Yes.
And
the result.
Robbo saw a 50-plus.
Oh, Robbo saw it.
And
he was successful.
And they won 59-0, Stephen. I mean, that's not spooky. That's just fact.
And look, here I go. I suppose, to give him credibility, he's been doing this since the 70s, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, he said he had his first out-of-body experience because it was astral projection back in the day, you know.
That's right.
That's the coverall sort of concept. He became an eagle. Surely that's not right.
I think that's what the ABBA song was about, wasn't it? Eagle off the ABBA the album.
Yeah, but what about the Roosters?
Yeah, and also, what would bet Jonathan Livingston's Seagull? That was kind of in the mix
huge,
as well.
Huge. So,
Endless Summer.
Became an eagle sitting in a tree looking down on myself, watching the eagle in the tree. What? I had no idea what I'd done until later that I found out that it was astral travelling.
Whereas when Kerry Packer died on the polo field, he just saw nothing.
Black.
So
nothing.
It depends who you are and whether your mind's open, Stephen. And look, I disclose my interest. I'm a personal associate of Bradley's.
Oh, yes.
I'm very interested in his point of view.
Yes, yes.
Personally, I do love the fact that I often remind Bradley, he calls it astro travelling. I know it's astral travelling, but...
like Astro the dog.
Or from the Jetsons, or Astro Boy. Astro Boy,
okay.
That anime classic. But who are you or I to say, Stephen?
Yes.
That, and there are no bigger fans of Trent Robinson than you and me, that Trent and Bradley went on a mental astral excursion.
Yes, with Homer Simpson.
And I don't know if you saw that tight shot of Robbo near the end of the game on the weekend. I probably didn't. At Four Pints Park.
Yeah.
And it was Robbo, and he was on his phone, and you know what he was doing? He was ringing up his astral travel agency and go, I need to book another trip.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go in the future, please. Now, this umbilical cord of energy to my clients. Now, I'm assuming you're not a client, Chris.
Right now?
Yes.
I'm not prepared to disclose that.
Are you feeling this energy via the umbilical cord that we don't know about? He says...
I definitely feel something around my navel.
He goes, I could control their thoughts, energy, and manifest the results through them.
Well, don't tell me dial in, which we've explored over the last couple of weeks.
Is not part of that.
That's part of that. Absolutely. That's clearly, that's Stubbs.
God, through and through.
ABC, yeah. D and E.
And then this is where it gets interesting. I'm sure we'll hear a few words from the great gladiator himself, right? He goes, with the 2014 finals approaching, I told Michael Maguire, NRL head coach of South Sydney Rabbitohs, that we must keep the right message from the players.
Yeah.
The right messages from the players. So don't cloud, muddy up the issues here. Because I therefore ensued that Russell Crowe, owner of South Sydney, despite being a Hollywood celebrity, was not to come into the dressing rooms and talk to the players before the game at halftime. I bet he didn't say that to his face.
They often talk about one of the things that we're always short of in the game is common sense. That, to me, sounds like a very, very common sense approach to managing the energy. The last thing I would want as a rabbit is bloody Russell Crowe coming in and telling me what to do in then stentorian voice. This is why the South Sydney Rabbitohs went on to victory in 2014. No gladiator.
Are you telling me that Las Vegas wasn't a success because of that voice?
They barely got 60,000 people watching. So when the rugby league came on Fox Sports 1, the basketball game had gone in overtime, 100,000 people turned off.
Don't tell me this facts.
They went from game 1 to 2, another 15,000 to 16,000 switched off, Stephen, because Russell Crowe was involved. Had Russell Crowe not done that ridiculous explanation of the rules video, the numbers would have been...
Double, do you reckon?
300,000 to 400,000 would have watched, because the anti-Crowe movement is developing apace.
I wonder where Volandis sits on this... Bradley Charles Stubbs. Is he a disruptor from his point, or a promoter of the game?
Who's that, Bradley?
Bradley, yes.
Yeah, I think he's a promoter of the game. Loves the game, Stephen. By the way, I hear Crowe's making a sequel to The Pope's Exorcist. It's called The Pope's Exorcist 2. Yes. This time the head's spinning in a clockwise direction. Because the previous one was anti.
Horizontal.
Both.
Both, okay, right.
And it's like a knife through hot butter.
And he says, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win. Done.
Done.
Done. Right, okay. Now, we wait and see, I suppose, where this ends up. But I just say, bring on the clear light, Chris.
Just give me some magic mushrooms in whatever form, Stephen.
We'll go away quietly.
Well, before I go to Leichhardt Oval on Saturday night.
Exactly.
It looked like here comes South, but it just got away from you.
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, it was in the first bit, just a hard game. We showed what we were about, and honestly, they're big boys, they're competitors. You know, I wonder why they come, you know, runner-up last year, so building on that. I don't care if I'm swearing, boys, honestly. But I'm very happy. Scored 100 tries, so there's something to celebrate there. That was my 100th, so...
Well done.
Yeah, everyone...
But anyways. Right, well,
I'll joking,
thanks.
All right.
Okay, right, enough stories now, you follow.
Okay, thank you, Latrell.
It's a new world, it's a new time, swearing doesn't matter anymore. Rein him in, says Gus. Rein him in. They never did. The elders of his tribe never said, hey, Latrell, bit of respect, please, just put your gob shut, you know?
So, first of all, what about the children's?
What about the kiddies? And what about the hospitals? And what about the aged care facilities, Chris?
Ricky Stewart would be up and
come on, Ricky.
There's a lot of conjecture about this exchange between Latrell and Dobbo from Triple M.
Yeah.
Should Dobbo have taken the microphone away earlier? Should Dan Ganane have intervened? Because if Dan Ganane intervened after the first F-bomb, he should have simply said, goodbye, in Dan Ganane's style. But, of course, it's been killing it on their Triple M socials ever since they posted it.
Has James Demetrio lost everything? Like control.
Well, you know when they lose the room,
yes,
the coach.
Yes.
I think Demetrio has lost Heffron Park, the entire complex.
Well, that's right.
Poor old Lachlan Ilias, who's been the sacrificial rabbit in this case, as opposed to lamb. He was allowed to kick the ball once in the first half.
Right.
So who's running?
Whereas Latrell's allowed to do whatever the hell he wants.
Who's running the show? And it becomes a really vexed thing. I stand, as I often do, with Andrew Webster on this, Stephen.
Me too.
Because I remember, and there was some speculation that this was done as a bet, West Tigers players, including Chris Hyington in particular, but certainly even my boy Pat Richards, in their post-match interviews in 2005, repeatedly dropped the F-bomb as they were walking along the sideline talking to Matty Johns.
Yeah.
Bit of humour, bit of whatever.
Repercussions?
Latrell is sending a message here. He's sending a message to those who wanted to hamstring him, allow him to discuss the Spencer Leno incident.
He's a man of the future.
Right? And I would support his right to do that. Mm-hmm. But what really gets my goat and why I think he should be sanctioned is he finished it by saying, actually, I'm pretty happy. Scored my 100th try.
Yes.
And as a South fan, and I seldom identify with you South fans, you're entitled to be very concerned about someone who's reflecting on their happiness after their team was touched up against the Brisbane Broncos.
Right. Just quickly, Chris, from your end of the pond, we've talked about the, you know, the demise of the Tigers, the demise of the Dragons already, round two. Who are the winners this week, apart from bloody Melbourne Storm?
In rugby league?
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yes, I think Penrith bounced back, Stephen, and you've got to credit the Parramatta Eels for hanging in as much as they
like
did.
I don't like doing that.
Yeah, because Penrith were compelling up at Penrith Park, or Bluebet Stadium, as they like to refer to it.
So that place is a dump too, isn't it? Hey,
look,
what's happened there?
I've heard people say that. I went up a couple of years ago to see them touch up the Sydney Roosters. First of all, what I loved about the Penrith crowd, and they were behind in the early exchanges, they're not fussed.
No.
Same as Parramatta. They go, we're the Panthers.
No.
We're going to win.
Chris, I remember that. 2010?
Yeah.
11 years in a row. I remember that.
Time ago.
Remember that feeling of confidence.
Yeah. And I went I went to get myself, I think, a pie.
Did you?
At the concession stand underneath the stadium. And the person is delightful.
Delightful.
Offered me a range of sauces. Yeah, those sorts of things.
Napkins?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought it was very, very
welcoming. No queue at the toilets? Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, sure, the whole stadium was riddled with concrete cancer.
Who cares?
But let's face it, stench and stadiums go together, a la Ricky Stewart.
And really, where is Ricky getting off doing that sort of nonsense, you know?
Why would you want to take the stench away from a stadium?
Why would you?
You feel comfortable in your state of privation.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is why I want them to leave Leichhardt Oval exactly
and
as it is.
Officially, it's a Ricky stench, right?
Man, like, if they tear down Leichhardt, like, they've got a possum in the Letcham Robinson stand in the corporate area.
Right.
Where's that going to live?
And what does that eat? Is it, does it pinch corporate food?
I love the fact that I tell people you can't park there for love or money.
Yeah.
I love the fact that every time you host someone there, they almost neck themselves on the stairs.
Did I hear the Meth Lab is part of the Biennale?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
Well, they've done White Bay Power Station, so where are you going to go next, Stephen?
I'm hoping there's some deep, deep sort of techno tunes being played out of that joint.
Let me tell you, there's a few Romanian artists have got plans for the
Romanians, are they?
But what about beleaguered, and I've used that word already today, South Sydney captain Cameron Murray talking about Latrell? Can I quote this?
He looks pale. Yes, go on.
He goes, I had to chat to Latrell about it to get his perspective, check in, and that's all he said. That's Trell being his authentic self.
Ah.
I know people are saying he's supposed to be a role model for kids, but I think it's unfair to judge him on one interview. I'm not sure that we're judging him on one interview.
No.
I also think, and this is important, Stephen, because I've been opening your mind all episode, I also think in an indirect way, he's showing people that's his true self. And he's giving people permission.
Authentic, is he?
To be their true selves.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
By him doing that.
Right.
So in other words, Trell goes, if I can fly my freak flag, if I can be open to astral travelling and a psilocybin passport, so can you.
So can you.
It's all hope and dreams until round one. Fire up.
So the Sea Eagles, of course, Chris, they're doing great stuff.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're winners, Stephen.
Yeah.
2-0.
Now, there's a new mob down there, Four Pines Brewing, of course. Boutique brewing in the suburbs is all the rage. You know, it's microeconomics at play.
So they've taken over naming rights of Brookvale, and I'm sure they'll be behind the deal to build the emergency services personnel permanent housing there.
They're doing
forever.
A lot more, Chris, a lot more. They've committed to planting 100 native trees, shrubs or grasses, and I'm hoping there's no asbestos amongst it. As part of the program with Landcare Australia called the Tries for Trees initiative. That's a beautiful thing.
That is wonderful.
So can you break it down? So every time there's a try, how many trees do you get?
100.
100 trees.
So they planted 9,300 last year, Stephen, because they scored 93 tries.
Right.
Supercoach Anthony Seibold says we're going to eclipse that number very comfortably this year. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they've taken West Tigers, Luke Brooks and Tommy Talau.
Yes.
And this is really, really good because when they're hammering the opposition line in what we now refer to as the red zone, Stephen, there's just little verbal coming from DCE to, you know, hang on, you North Queensland Cowboys.
Yeah.
What about the environment? Just let us in.
What are those shrubs, those natives, you know?
Yeah, you've done a good...
And what it does for the local, not just the vegetation, but the animals as well.
That's right.
The bugs.
The ecosystem.
Ecosystem, yeah. Total, yeah.
You've let us in for a soft try. Yeah. You're saving the planet.
Yes.
One missed tackle at a time.
Yes.
And they're now being referred to not as the American sea eagles, because I said it was... Really, the MAGA Bowl at Four Pines.
MAGA Bowl.
The Red, White and Blue Stars, the American Roosters versus the American Sea Eagles. They're now simply known as the Manly Warringah Tree Eagles.
Okay. And do we have any of those teams that went to Vegas copped onto the MAGA sort of labelling? Are they appropriate to that?
The Roosters and Manly are in a intestine conflict to be America's team.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be America's team, based on the way the numbers are looking to us at the moment, Stephen, that makes you Trumpian.
Of course. And how do the Roosters fans feel about that? Are they mad as cut snakes?
Can't you just see in... Trump is returned to the White House, and he's one of those guys who likes to take pictures with the other people of power he's met, right?
Yeah.
So he had the puppet Turkish president or something in the other day.
Kanye West and his girlfriend?
Yeah, Kim Jong-il, of course.
Yes.
Putin, of course.
Yes.
Politis is a good fit. Trump-Politis photo.
Very good fit. Right.
And on the other side?
Yeah.
Trump-Volandis.
Right.
Both in those sort of slightly saggy suits.
Saggy suits. We're talking about forward-thinking and backward-thinking there, Chris, aren't we? Bloody hell. Now, Flano's been presenting The Dragon's Way.
Can we hear that?
Can we?
The Dragon's Way incorporates so many different things. The way we treat each other, the way we behave in training, the way we dress is really important on the weekend or the last 2 weeks that, you know, we went to the airport and, you know, the way that we wear our clothes, the way we present in public, you know, and then more importantly, the way we perform.
Now, does that mean like Russell Crowe, something like Christian Dior? Or are we talking the daggy suits and PVL style?
Oh, look, I always remember that Cogra, which is where you're playing this weekend, was not near to Keith Lord Furniture, that big building there.
Oh, yeah.
Princess High.
Yeah.
So I feel your Ruben F. Scarf.
Ruben F. Scarf, making a big comeback.
Though I believe the Roosters have tied up a deal with Ruben F. Scarf. So you're probably more... What's another...
Yeah, we used to talk about a fashion a mob called Roys of Cremorne.
Was it Kingswood Country or something like that? They did some sort of suit.
And all the reason why we should get the hell out of there as fast as we can get out of Dodge and move to Allianz Stadium is one of the co-teams there.
Here's one for Flano. That's a great bag of fruit. It's a Silvertech suit.
What a beauty.
That's where you should be going. Yeah. Does it worry you that he listed off many ways in which they need to live by the creed of the Dragon's Way, and right at the end he remembers, oh, yeah, and the way you perform?
Yeah. And that should be private stuff. You shouldn't be talking about that to us anyway.
Well, it was a town hall meeting at the Taj Mahal, otherwise known as the St. George League Club, Stephen.
Yes.
And our person on the inside, your brother Mash, said it was a very enthusiastic meeting, that there's a lot of trust in Flanagan as he went through the six things they need to fix before you start winning games.
Chris, I was doing a radio show on Saturday night, and of course the Dragons are on at 6:15, right in the middle of my show. I thought, do I wait? And then I realised I wasn't going to get any luxury as, you know, time to watch the game. So I turned on the radio, 10-0, okay, 10-0. And the announcers, of course, as they do in their own particular way, big chance for the Dragons to come back here. You know, they're doing all the right things. You know, the stats are great, looking good. I thought, you beauty. Shit, 16-0, you know, just went to get my dinner, you know. And then it's just like, it's just a free fall. And I thought, this can't be true. And I thought, do you know what? I don't need the grief. I can just feel my blood pressure going up.
Yep.
Thanks very much, Flano. I'll send you the bill, you know. And 38-0, second game.
Well,
Jesus.
And of course, as many people point out, there's a lot of emotion around the scoreline, 38-0, Stephen.
Is that there?
Takes us back to 1975.
Oh, God.
Yes. But the interesting thing about the Dragons' Way, and, you know, I'm cynical, Stephen.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to astral travelling. And
Bradley.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to me, we've already had the Rooster's Way
and
Robbo Pontifico in that.
Yeah.
And in the other arcane sport, the AFL, there's the Carlton Way. The Dragon's Way is something that Flano seems to have unfurled as though it's original. And apparently after the first game, and no surprises here, Zach Lomax was the recipient, Flano presents the Dragon's Way to any player he believes has displayed the ultimate level of character.
Is this cash?
Effort. it's a little St. George Dragon money box in Lucite.
Yeah, yeah.
The ultimate level of character, effort and teamwork during a match. And he is going to present that, well, maybe not every week.
No, okay. We wait and see, shall we? Now, I know there were a few, you know, flaws in the defence. Now, that was the thing. We don't need to have men from mountaintops giving speeches and sermons. You know, we don't need to have Michael Dyson clinics going on. We just need some hard stuff, you know, fit, hard men who can tackle.
Too much time posing for bobbleheads, not enough time learning how to hit the tackle bags.
Exactly.
See, and, I mean, you heard Kyle Flanagan was at Fred again.
Of course he was.
Going down that route of dance music, that's going to corrupt a young mind and a soul and a body. No wonder he wasn't getting square in market defence.
I'll leave you, Chris, by saying it's a long season.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!